Greetings, this is Robert Noya, Editor-in-Chief of Sky and Telescope Magazine. I'm on the phone with Dr. Joy Crisp, Deputy Project Scientist for the Curiosity rover mission to Mars, the mission formerly known as Mars Science Laboratory. Besides her leading role in the new mission, Joy is formerly the Project Scientist for the Mars Exploration Rover Spirit and Opportunity. Joy, thanks for joining us today.
Sure, I'm glad to be with you.
Well, first of all, what's the main objective of Curiosity's mission?
Well, the main point of the mission is for Curiosity to go and investigate Gale Crater to figure out whether Mars was a habitable planet. And by that, I mean one that was capable or is capable of supporting microbial life.
And as I understand it, though, it's not going to actually be looking for life itself, just looking for environments that in the past could have supported life.
That's true. It's difficult to design a mission to look for life. So we're taking the next step, which is characterizing both past environment and present environment.
I was at JPL a few months ago and saw the rover and a model of the rover, and that I think strikes anyone who sees Curiosity for the first time is how it just dwarfs Spirit and Opportunity. And as we mentioned in Emily's very fine article, this new rover is powered by radioactive decay rather than solar panels. But in terms of its scientific capabilities, how does Curiosity compare to Spirit and Opportunity?
In terms of capability, it's much more. It does have some similarities to Spirit and Opportunity in having cameras at the top of the mast to look around, a chemical analyzer and a close-up imager on the end of the arm. Where we start to get different is the addition of other instruments such as organics analyzer inside the body of the rover, an X-ray diffraction mineral instrument inside the body of the rover, a laser gun at the top of the mast for chemical analysis, a whole meteorology station, and a radiation monitor.
And one thing, too, that I find really interesting about this mission is that because of its size and weight, it's using an entirely different landing technique than anything that's been tried before on Mars. Now, I have to confess, and Emily mentions this in her article, is that when you watch the video, it really does look kind of scary. I mean, do you feel confident that Curiosity will land safely with this sky crane technique?
Yes, I do, because we've had many years now to work on it and to have it thoroughly reviewed and tested out. So it does look scary, and it is a new system. Unlike the previous landings, which used airbags, this one is going to be rocket-powered descent with what we call the sky crane, lowering the rover down on cables starting at 60 feet off the ground and then letting the rover touch down quite gently, cutting the cables and the descent stage flying away. It's pretty dramatic for people if they can look at the animation of how it will work.
I also understand that not everyone in the Mars science community was happy with the selection of Gale Crater as the landing site, but obviously there's some very exciting things about the crater. What is it about this crater that gave it the edge over other possible landing sites?
Well, it's potentially the thickest exposed sequence of sedimentary rock that we know of in the solar system. And it's got a diversity of types of minerals that we have spotted from orbit, different ones that indicate that there was water around in the past. There's a mound in the center of Gale Crater, and by driving up that hill, we expect to be able to start in the older rocks and work our way up to younger rocks and see changes in the environment as we read the record in those rocks.
And since it will be going up this mound, like how good are Curiosity's rock climbing or mountain climbing capabilities?
They're very similar to Spirit and Opportunity, which we did drive around on some hilly terrain. We had Spirit going up Husband Hill. Opportunity has gone into craters and on fairly steep slopes. It is tricky, but we have even better data from orbit now so that we can look at the slopes and see exactly where we think the rover could or could not drive to make sure that it can drive up Gale's Mound. The aren't that bad on average. It's just that you have to pick a route for the rover that isn't up the steeper parts.
And how big is the science team for Curiosity, and what is the team doing to get ready for the landing?
So right now we've got about 250 people from around the world on this team, and it should swell to on the order of 300 or more when we land. To get ready for operations, we've been having some early tests where we practice how would we make decisions about what the rover should do and how do we interpret data similar to what we expect to get from the rover. We're working our way towards, in January, starting much higher fidelity tests where we use our spare rover here at JPL in an indoor sandbox, and we practice getting pictures and other measurements back from the rover and working as a team to plan what the rover should do and sending those commands to that test rover.
And what do you think the toughest challenges will be for the team, you know, once Curiosity lands on Mars?
So we'll feel pretty much under intense time pressure to turn around. Every day we'll get data back from the rover. We'll get pictures and measurements that we have to make sense out of, and then talk with each other about what we think we're seeing in that data, and then plan what the rover should do the next day. So getting that large group of people under severe time pressure to make decisions like that with a highly complex rover will be interesting, a challenge.
And as I understand it too, you know, Mars' day is about little less than 40 minutes longer than an Earth day. So over 1 or 2 days, that's not a big deal. But once you get synced with Mars time, you know, that it's different enough from Earth time over, like, especially several weeks, that also becomes a challenge. Is that correct?
Yeah, it does tire you out to come into work 40 minutes later every day, and we will have to take that into account when we plan our staffing so that people can get sufficient rest and have the right level of energy for doing this hard work.
And how often will you and your team be sending up commands to the rover once it's on Mars?
That's a good question, one that I get asked a lot, because people think that, well, Mars is close to Earth, so don't we just send up commands several times a day? And the answer is no, we do it once a day when it's morning for the rover on Mars. It'll wake up and get a set of commands from Earth, and then it'll do its best to carry out those commands on its own. And we've included in the software on the rover some smarts so that if it thinks it's getting into a problem, it can put itself into a safe situation or stop doing certain things and send diagnostic information back to Earth.
And what will be tricky for the rover to do on Mars? You mentioned hill climbing earlier. Are there other tricky operations that the rover will be expected to perform?
Yeah, there's a couple things that are tough. One is being able to carefully position the 7-foot-long robotic arm onto rocks and soil. On the end of that huge arm is 75 pounds of equipment, and that includes a drill, a scoop, a brush, a chemical analyzer, and a camera. So we will be saying right there, we want you to position the drill, say, there on this irregular shaped rock sitting in front of the rover, and the robotic arm will do that positioning. Another tricky thing will be getting powder samples delivered to the instruments inside the body of the rover. So if it's a soil target, the arm can use a scoop to pick up some of that material, shake it through a sieve, and deliver a portion of just the right size to the two instruments inside the rover. And if it's a rock target, the arm can use a little mini jackhammer drill to collect rock powder and then sieve it and deliver a portion to those instruments. And we've never done anything like this before on Mars. It'll be really hard because we don't know exactly what the physical properties of those rocks and soils will be like.
Yeah, and as I understand it, Phoenix ran into some problems with delivering soil samples to the interior of the lander. Now that we have that knowledge from Phoenix, you know, you've been able to design Curiosity to handle at least that type of soil.
Yeah, we would have great confidence confidence if we had some material like the rocks and soils on Mars and we could just test and test and know we work well with that material. Instead, we don't know what the material is like exactly. So we end up collecting rocks and soils on the Earth that we think might be like what's on Mars or might stress the system, and we test to that and then hope that when we get to Mars that the material will behave something like in the range we've tested and that it'll work.
One thing, too, that I find really neat about this mission is that, as I understand it, the rover will be able to fire a laser at a rock target and vaporize some of that material, and then a spectrometer will be able to read the composition. Can you tell us a little bit about that instrument?
You pretty much said it all. It's at the top of the mast. We can point the mast up or down or around 360 degrees, so we can choose from pictures to where to target this laser. And we can point it at a rock or a soil, and it's kind of fun for the public to think of. Here we're shooting this laser gun at something and obliterating it, basically turning the rock into a plasma in a tiny little spot. Let's say, you know, the size of a pinhead area. It'll make a little indentation in the rock or soil. As you said, the instrument will then look at that plasma, and from spectra from that instrument, we can turn that into its chemical makeup. And that will help us decide, is it interesting? Is it different? Do we want to drive over to that spot and look at it more carefully with the robotic arm and possibly drill it or scoop it and put it inside the rover?
And another thing, too, that I think I really found great about Spirit and Opportunity is that the pictures from the PanCam cameras are fairly close to what the human eye would see if we had people on Mars. How will the pictures from the cameras on Curiosity compare to what a human would see on Mars?
Well, they'll be a little bit better, and they will be capable of video. So depending on what's happening, we can collect video. They're going to have color embedded in the camera like a commercial camera. So for Spirit and Opportunity, we had to take one picture at a time in each color, red, green, and blue, and bring those frames back and combine them and turn them into color. But with these cameras, the imaging device has it built in. So you'll take one picture to get color. That'll save time. The science cameras are mounted on a very tall mast. So compared to Spirit and Opportunity, it's like getting a view from a very tall person's point of view, 7 feet up off the ground.
And I would think, too, that once you start climbing that mound, you're going to get some pretty dramatic panoramas from these cameras.
Yes.
And what other things about this mission do you think the public will find particularly interesting and exciting?
Well, it'll be a lot of focus on sampling, collecting samples, finding out if there are organic molecules inside the rocks that we've drilled into. And another interesting thing will be sniffing the atmosphere for methane, which we think we've seen from orbit and from Earth-based measurements could possibly be a sign that there's microbial activity going on releasing that methane, or possibly water interacting with minerals to generate that methane. But actually going to the surface and trying to measure it, that will really nail the somewhat of a controversy as to whether the methane's there, how much is there, and how it might vary with time and season.
And besides Curiosity, the Russians are sending the Phobos Grunt mission to explore the larger of Mars's two moons. Are you going to be following that mission much?
We'll definitely try to stay up with what the press releases are saying, what they're finding, because you never know if it might pertain to what we're trying to do and what we're trying to learn.
Right. And I understand that, you know, Russia and the Soviet Union have not had a lot of success with their Mars exploration program, unfortunately. You know, I'm certainly hoping that everything goes wonderfully with this new mission.
Oh, certainly. It's not easy doing a mission to Mars. So definitely we are hoping that all such missions will be successful. We can certainly relate to how hard it is to make them work right.
And one thing, too, with the Spirit and Opportunity mission is, you know, we've had some really good books about the mission. Jim Bell has written a really wonderful picture book called Postcards from Mars. And then Steve Squires wrote a book, almost read like a thriller. Any plans that you know of for you or someone on the team to write a book after Curiosity has been on Mars for a while?
I don't know of any such plans, but I didn't really know of any plan on Spirit and Opportunity either, and then these books came out. The team is so large that it is likely that somebody or some folks will write books. A funny story on the Squires Roving Mars book is that when I read that book, I was on an airplane flight reading most of it, and I found myself grinding my teeth and clenching my teeth, like I was reliving all those scary moments in the project all over again in a very condensed time period. And wow, it does read like a thriller, and it reads well.
Mm-hmm. Those are the questions I had, Joy, but was there anything else that you'd like to add that I did not ask you about?
Well, one more thing is that we will be releasing images right when they come down to Earth on the internet, and so that will allow people to follow along just like the science team and see what's happening just as we do, and that's a very exciting part of the mission.
You know, I wish I could almost hit the fast forward button and go to next summer for the time of landing, but I know we'll have to be patient. But I want to thank you for taking time today and just want to wish you and your team full success with this very exciting mission.